a copyrighted program created by Rio Grande.
Calling all cars, attention all Marin County Sheriff's cars, broadcast 178. Wanted for murder, one Vince Lucich, known as Peg Leg Lucich. This man is known to be armed and desperate. That's all.
Rio Grande receives thousands of letters commending the public service of calling all cars. Only a few programs approach it in popularity. Public officials, law enforcement agencies, ministers, educators, and the public at large report an increasing respect and admiration for police officers and Rio Grande's true portrayal of their work. If you have respect for police officers and law enforcement agencies, you must have respect for their judgment. Police officers should know something about gasoline, for they drive 8 times as far as the average motorist. And a vast percentage of the police officer's work has to do with traffic. To law enforcement agencies, performance means everything. For 3 years, Rio Grande Cracked Gasoline has won highest honors, not only for police car performance, but for low cost of operation as well. And this in competition with all other gasolines. More than 50 million miles of law enforcement driving last year with Rio Grande Cracked Gasoline. The fact that you listen to these Calling All Cars broadcasts shows that you like action. You enjoy people who do things now. You dislike the ordinary, admire only the superlative. See your independent Rio Grande dealer tomorrow. Let those who lead humdrum lives worry along with old-fashioned, sluggish gasolines. But for you, police car performance with Rio Grande Cracked Gasoline. We take you now to our studios in San Francisco, where you will hear Walter B. Selmer, Sheriff of Marin County.
Bootlegging, hijacking, rum running, and various other methods of illegal money-making were responsible for the reign of terror. Racket killings were daily occurring in the larger cities. And in Marin County, Sheriff Jack Keating and Undersheriff Alex McCurdy worked day and night coping with rum-running activities. Because of the isolation of many large vineyards and ranches, this was an ideal place for the racketeers to set up a headquarters. And the deserted coastline nearby made a perfect place for landing liquor. Thus it was that in 1930, when tonight's story took place, the peace officials were facing an added burden, that of stamping out the hijackers, bootleggers, and gangsters on top of enforcing the regular laws. Today, the gangster is rapidly disappearing, but then it was a different story. I deeply regret that Sheriff Keating and Undersheriff McCurdy are not here tonight to tell you the story themselves, but it is through their records that I am able to give you these happenings. I return you now to Los Angeles and Calling All Cars.
The evening of May 23rd, 1930, Tomales Bay, a niche in the coastline north of San Francisco, a niche surrounded by barren ground in the midst of rich farmland. Fog rolls in from a dirty ocean over towering cliffs, over empty brown hills. Seabirds hushed by the murky atmosphere, wing slowly in to find their roosting places on the already crowded cliffs. Oily waves lap monotonously at a debris-covered beach. Tomales Bay. In 1917, Arnold Barron, a silent, stolid rancher, took his bride to his lonely ranch house in the rolling Sonoma Hills. And for 13 sulky, discontented years, Grace Barron has endured the bleat of sheep, the never-changing days and nights, the isolation, while her husband, silent, unimaginative, thinking solely of his ranch, goes about his work. It is an evening in March 1930. The Barons are finishing their silent meal.
Was the meal all right, Arnold?
Yeah, it was all right.
I'm getting a little sick of mutton all the time. Aren't you?
No, it's all right.
Sure, it's all right. I'm just getting sick of it. We eat it every meal. We need some sugar, Arnold. When are we going into town?
I'm going to lay down now.
What about the sugar, Arnold? This is the last of it. Arnold, why don't you talk? Why don't you talk? What are you? Are you a man or a piece of machinery? You come in every night the same way. You come in and eat and then lie down. It's always the same. You never talk. You lie there and stare at the ceiling. Is this all I'll ever get out of life? Living in this lonely house, cooking. No one will talk to me. I'm a woman. I want more than this. Why don't you talk? I can't stand it any longer. It isn't right. It isn't right.
Days pass, and one morning into this scene of domestic stagnation comes Mel Sturtevant, tall, swaggering. Mel Sturtevant, who has climbed the shaky ladder of crime, has arrived at the questionable station of Big Shot in the rum rings of California. After some time of preliminary conversation with Arnold Barron, his tone changes.
Look, Barron, I came here with a purpose. I want to talk business with you.
What about?
Oh, no. Before I spill it to you, I want to know how you feel about things.
What things?
Say, you're a talkative devil, aren't you?
Well, what do you want to talk about?
Well, this will mean money to you, but some people might not like the idea.
Who?
The law. Would that make any difference to you?
What's the deal?
Well, I don't know whether... Well, here it is. I want to put a still in around here somewhere. I've been in this part of the country for about 3 weeks looking for the right place. I think you have it. You'd get 10% of the profits, and you wouldn't have to do much of anything either. It's a perfect setup. What do you say?
Well, I don't know. Never did anything like that before.
There isn't a chance in the world that you'll get caught. Why, nobody will ever come out here. It's a cinch. A chance for you to make some real dough. None of this chicken feed like you get selling sheep. Big money.
Well, I'll think it over. Sounds pretty good. You come back.
And returning, Sturtevant finds Arnold Barron ready to comply with his plan. The still is built, put into operation. The two men, partners in the venture. But to Grace Barron, her dreams of romance frustrated until now, Mel Sturtevant is more than a business partner. Blinded by the difference between her husband and this vain, boastful man, she sees in him the end of her drab years in the lonely house. Accordingly, plans are made. Sturtevant rents a small cottage in Molita, a little town beyond the Marin County line. Returns to the ranch to find his partner's wife waiting, all her worldly goods packed, ready to leave Arnold Barron to the solitude of the Sonoma Hills.
This is the last bundle, Mel. Let's hurry.
Oh, we got plenty of time. I'm not afraid of that husband of yours.
Well, we don't want any trouble if we can help it, do we?
No, I guess not. Well, let's go.
Hurry up, Mel. Here comes Arnold. Let's get out of here.
Where?
Hey, where are you two going? Come back there.
He's running around the house. Hurry, Mel. He's got a gun.
Oh, it's true.
Come back here. Come back here.
Through the hail of bullets, the couple escape. Drive to Molita. Once there, Sturtevant starts preying on his former rivals. Grows confident by his success at hijacking one load of liquor after another. Days, weeks, raid after raid, death. And suddenly, without warning, the inevitable blow fell. The federal government obtains indictments against a number of men for evading the liquor law. Among the names are those of Sturtevant and Barron. Frightened by the thought of going to trial with the man whose wife he had stolen, realizing that his freedom is endangered, Sturtevant goes to United States Attorney George J. Hatfield, lays his cards on the table, offers to testify for the government against his former partners. May 23rd, 1930. The case is called to court. Mel Sturtevant on the witness stand.
Do you know this man?
Yes, he's Arnold Barron.
How do you happen to know him?
Well, he's got a still in the Sonoma Hills.
Does he operate it alone?
I don't think so. I think he has two partners.
You know them?
I'm not sure, but I think that Al Dacre and Fred Corsick help him.
You know the rest of the three?
I'm not sure.
Will you name as many as you can?
Well, Barron has the biggest still. Dacre and Corsick help him. And then there's Garrow and Standing and Kidridge and Jeremy.
And through the day, Sturtevant goes down the list of men in the biggest liquor ring on the Pacific coast. Without a qualm, condemns the friends of former days. Finished, he and Grace Barron walk jauntily to the courthouse door to be met by Vincent Pegleg Lucich, the right-hand man on the hijacking raid.
Well, you're sure giving them the works, Mel.
Yeah, I got no hankering for any 10 years in the clink. I'll be all right.
Yeah, you'll be all right. Come on, let's get out of here. Let's take a ride somewhere.
I don't like the sound of that, Pegleg. Hey, you ain't turning on me, are you?
Nah, you know me. I just thought we could take a ride out and have a look at that landing spot on Tamales Bay. Get out of here for a while.
Okay, as long as I'm taking the ride with you. Come on, Grace. We'll get some air.
Oh, I need some. That courtroom was hot.
Hot. That's a good one. It was hot in more ways than one. That right, Peg?
You're right there. The boys are pretty sore.
Grace and I'll get him back. Come on.
You know, I'd hate to be in their spot. You're sure giving them the works.
Well, why not? It's them or me. Ah, they're just dumb, that's all.
I don't know if I'd like to be in your spot either.
Why? They'll all be put away for a long time. I don't have anything to worry about.
Nah, I guess not.
Speed it up, Peg. Yeah, sure is.
Let's walk down to the edge of the cliff.
Yeah, let's go down, Peg. I've never seen the beach.
Okay.
Do you have to go back to court tomorrow, Mel?
Yeah, I'll finish it up then. I hope they're good to me. I've given them plenty of dope. They ought to be.
It's a swell place, all right.
What'd you say?
I said it was a swell place, all right.
Yeah.
Oh, look at these cliffs. Don't go too close to the edge, Mel. Don't those waves look small down there?
Say, we are pretty high. Gee, look at all the gulls. They must roost on the cliff.
Mm-hmm. It's a swell place, all right.
Hey, what are you muttering about, Peg? Don't you like it here?
Yeah, I like it. I just said it was a swell place.
It sure is. As soon as I get out of this mess, we'll have to go to work on it. I'd like to put a small pier in over there by that big rock. We can really do business with this place if we do it right.
Yeah, we can. They don't bump you off first.
Shut up, Peg. I know I'm on the spot. But listen, let them try something. Just let them try it.
Don't be too cocky. If they want to do it, they will. You know that. You're in kind of a bad way.
Oh, quit talking about it. After this is over, Mel and I are going away. Aren't we, Mel?
Yeah, for a while. Maybe.
Aren't you going to fix this place up? I thought you said you were.
Oh, I'm not going away. Grace is scared. She thinks we ought to go. We won't, though.
Mel, why did you say that? You told me that we would.
Better forget it. Both of you.
Well, I don't think it's safe for him to stay.
Oh, I'm not afraid of him. Let him try something.
I think maybe Grace is right, Mel. I don't think it is safe around here.
You're crazy, Peg. Well, who'd have nerve enough to do it?
Hmm? Do you want to hear something funny?
Yeah? What's so funny?
I know who's going to bump you off.
Who?
I am.
No. Hey, put that gun away.
Come on, stand there.
No.
I hate squealers. This ain't my idea, but it is a good one. That's what happens to squealers. And the same thing goes for squealers' dames, too. You say?
But the urge to live in Grace Barron is strong. After lying as dead for hours, she stirs, lifts her head, groans. Starts crawling blindly into the fog, calling for help in a voice just strong enough to reach the ears of Thomas Williams as he walks down the road along the cliffs. He rushes her to the hillside hospital in Petaluma. Hours pass. Hours when little hope is held for the wounded woman. But late that night, she regains consciousness long enough to name Vincent Lucich as the murderer. Tell fragments of the story. Under Sheriff McCurdy, in charge of investigation, and District Attorney Henry Greer start to work on the case at once. Issue a blanket order to be on the lookout for the Buick sedan in which Lucich had left the scene of the crime. The wheels of justice start turning. At dawn the next morning, the phone rings at McCurdy's home.
Sheriff McCurdy?
Yeah.
This is Constable McGowan from Sausalito.
Huh? Oh, hello, Constable. A little early for a call, isn't it?
Yeah, I guess it is, but I thought I'd better call you.
Yeah.
Lucich is in this neck of the woods.
What's that? Lucich? Have you got him?
Oh, no, but we found a Buick he was in. He left it about 2 blocks from the San Francisco ferry dock.
Oh, that's great, Constable. Are you sure it's a car?
It's the one, all right. Full of liquor. We found the Baron Dame's purse in the back seat. Lucich must be in San Francisco.
That's right. He must be there. Now, don't let anybody touch that car. I'll be down as soon as I can get there.
But the finding of the car, although valuable because it points out the direction in which Lucich had fled, has little effect on the case. San Francisco is combed from north to south, from east to west. The murder gun is found, the last link forged. The search goes on, spreads. Denver, Omaha, Chicago. Police in every city in the country, armed with complete descriptions, are on the lookout. Vincent Lucich, medium height, 124 pounds, right leg amputated below knee. Tattoos on left hand, mole on right side of back, scar on left wrist. And in the meantime, Lucich is in a cabin just outside of San Francisco, a cabin which he dare not leave, a cabin holding him as tightly as the prison he's trying to escape.
Who's that? Who's that?
There. Got some grub for you.
Just a minute.
Got some nice canned beans for you, Pig. Something different for a change.
Don't try and be funny and don't come up to the door like that again.
Ah, don't get so, Pig. What am I supposed to do?
I don't care what you do, but don't come up to the door like that again. You're going to meet a slug coming through there some of these times.
That makes you so jumpy.
Why shouldn't I be jumpy penned up in this crummy joint all day and all night? I'm going to get out.
I wouldn't do that, Pig. Something might happen to you.
Nothing going to happen to me.
Sure, you're liable to get caught. That wouldn't be so good. Don't think the boys didn't like it so well, having you running around loose.
What have the boys got to do with it? They ain't penned up. They're out running around.
Yeah, but, Pig, you might spill something. I think that's what they're scared of.
I wouldn't spill nothing. I'll go nuts in this place. How long do they think I'm going to hang around here?
They don't know. Maybe a month or so. You got to wait till this quiets down. The place is hot. They'll get you in a minute.
Well, I'm telling you, I'll go nuts in this place. I can't sleep. I can't eat. I can't do nothing but walk around this room.
You got nobody to blame for it. If you'd finished off that Baron Dame, you wouldn't have to hide like some dirty rat.
That wasn't my fault. You read yourself how they couldn't understand why she was alive.
Yeah.
Nuts. I might as well be in the clinkers in here.
Calm down, Pig. Ain't nothing you can do but stay here.
Yeah. You know, I got half a hunch to try and beat the rap. I've been thinking plenty, and I think I could do it,
too. Don't try anything crazy, Pig.
I'd like to see how long the rest of you guys would stay in this joint. Why does it have to be
me? Come on, Pig, calm down.
You want to know? Because I'm the one. I'm the only one that had nerve enough to tackle Mel. The rest of you yellow pups were scared. Well, why should I take this for you? None of you ever did anything for me.
Wait a minute, Pig. It'll all work out. Don't get so riled up. Got to be getting along. Be back in a couple of days.
All right. Go on. I don't care if you never come back. I gotta get out of here.
And the next day, in the office of Captain of Inspectors, Charles D'Elia of the San Francisco Police, an officer is talking to him.
I contacted Pete Serio yesterday, Captain.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's been in every dive in town. I hadn't even heard of Lucius.
I've never seen anybody fade from sight like this before. Whoever's hiding him, there is somebody. He's sure doing a good job.
Well, we haven't had a sign of him. I don't think he's in town.
Yeah, maybe you're right. Well, can't give up. I'll put some more men on the case. We'll draw the net.
Hello.
I want to talk to Captain D'Elia.
Well, who's this?
Never mind. Give me D'Elia.
Captain DeLeo speaking.
Oh, hello, Charlie. This is Vince Lucic.
Well, well, Mr. Lucic. Well, did you call for a police escort or something? Oh, come on, come on. Let's quit kidding.
Who was that, Captain?
Some clever person having a little fun. Said he was Lucic. Hello.
Hey, Charlie, what's the idea of hanging up on me? This is Vince Lucic. Don't you want to talk to me?
All right, Joker. You're liable to get into trouble playing with the law like this.
Look, look, I'm not fooling. I'm Vince Lucic. I'm down at Clint's Cafe on Eddy Street. There's two of your men sticking the front door, and they didn't even know me. You know, that made me kind of mad.
Say, you are Lucic, aren't you? Well, I'm glad to hear from you. Are you in town for long?
Yeah, I'm going to give myself up. Come on over here. I'll be in the booth.
I don't know whether I'm a sucker or not, Lucic, but I'll be right over.
Good. And by the way, when you get here, you might tip the two bulls at the door off as to who I am. So long.
Goodbye.
Hey, hey. Was that really Lucic?
Yeah, I think so. I'll find out in a little while. He wants me to meet him.
Ah, you're not going alone, are you?
Yeah, I think I better.
Oh, I wouldn't, Cotton. That sounds screwy to me. I wouldn't trust that guy a minute. Come on, you better let me go with you.
No, I don't think so. Wonder what the idea is, huh? Maybe he's tired of hiding out. Still, I don't know.
No, he's probably got something up his sleeve. You better let
me
go with
you. No, you stay here. I'm going over there alone.
And a few minutes later, Captain D'Elia is at the restaurant, walks up to the booth where Vincent Lucic is finishing a sandwich.
Well, hello there, Lucid. For some reason or another, I didn't expect you to be here.
Sure, I'm here, Charlie. Sit down, order something.
Yeah, no, thanks, I'm not hungry. Huh? What's on your mind?
Well, Charlie, I was hiding out, and all of a sudden I says to myself, I says, Vincent, what are you hiding for? You've got nothing to be afraid of. Well, here I am.
Yeah, I'm glad to see you and all that. What's it all about?
I'll tell you, this is a bum rap, Charlie. It was my life or theirs. I just happened to beat them to the draw, see?
Yeah, who are you talking about?
You know who I mean. Mel Sturdivant and that Baron woman.
Oh.
Yeah. I heard about her story. But you can believe me, Charlie. They were taking me for a ride,
oh,
see?
Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. I don't know why, but Mel, well, he always had it in for me.
Well, that's funny. Now, I thought you and he were good friends.
No, we never were. Never were good friends. Of course not. And you see, that day we went up to Molly's Bay. Well, I kicked about some of the things he was saying.
Mm-hmm. What was he saying, Lucy?
Well, he was making some of his wisecracks. Well, when he was doing that, I got a little sore and I kicked about him.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, he pulls out his rod and he hits me over the head with it. Yeah, I still got a bump. You want me to show it to you?
No, never mind. Then what happened?
Well, after that, he slugged me. And, I reached for my gun and I beat him to the draw and I let him have it before he could plug me. Yeah, that's the way it happened.
Now, just a minute, Lucic. What about Mrs. Barron? What'd you shoot her for?
Oh, her. Well, you could have floored me when she all of a sudden ripped open her bag and pulled out a gun and started waving it at me. I figured she was going to bump me off, so, well, what was there for me to do? I just let her have it. It was self-defense all the way through. Sure, self-defense. Ah, listen to me, Charlie. I'm turning myself in because I know I can beat this rat.
All right, Lucic. We'll see. But right now, let's go down to the county jail. Huh?
The county jail? Sure. Come on, Charlie. Let's go.
So, just 4 weeks after the murder at Tamales Bay, Vincent Peg-Leg Lucic, confident, unruffled, goes to trial. Tells his story, but his lies, unable to match the evidence that is heaped against them, become useless in the face of truth. And cowed by fear, the man who killed Mel Sturdivant in cold blood receives sentence June 29, 1930.
It is the sentence of this court that you be confined in the state penitentiary for the rest of your natural life. Thank you.
Vince Lucich went to the penitentiary, but his stay there was destined to be cut short by an unexpected happening. The strain of his unhealthy past, combined with worry, drove Lucich insane. Made of the once boastful gangster a cackling old man bereft of all sense, doomed to spend the rest of his life in the insane asylum. Thus ends the case of Peg Leg Vince Lucich. Police and other law enforcement officers drove 50 million miles last year on Rio Grande cracked gasoline to fight crime, to save property, to protect lives. Rio Grande is pardonably proud of the public service work their products are doing. It is a contribution to the welfare of the community and the strongest endorsement and recommendation of any gasoline. Listen to this list of communities specifying Rio Grande cracked gasoline just since the first of the year. Pasadena, Marysville, Monterey Park, Linwood, Glendora, Southgate, Phoenix, Orange County, Coconina County, Arizona, Las Vegas, Nevada. We have told you before about Los Angeles, Oakland, Berkeley, Fresno, Santa Barbara, San Diego, Santa Barbara County, San Diego County, Maricopa County, and many, many other cities and counties. The mileage this year promises to be much greater than 50 million miles. In many of these cities where Rio Grande cracked gasoline is the official brand, Sinclair Motor Oils add to the smoothness of police car performance. Every motorist who specified Sinclair Motor Oil for his car is getting the finest quality motor oils money can buy. Every dealer who sells Sinclair Motor Oils knows by the scientific Sinclair Law lubrication the exact grade of Sinclair oil you should use in your motor in its present state of wear. He will save you money and add to the life of your car. See him tomorrow and ask for a free copy of Calling All Cars News, that newsy publication of radio and screen gossip, police stories, and other interesting features. 500,000 readers every month. If you haven't seen it, ask your nearest independent Rio Grande dealer for a copy tomorrow.
Calling all cars, attention all Marin County Sheriff's cars. The cancellation broadcast 178 regarding a murder. The suspect is now in custody. That's all.
Narrator Frederick Lindsley, bidding you good night for Rio Grande.